Good evening, Rabosai. Tonight, we will be working on the sugya, actually starting the sugya of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. It is not intended that this should be an exhaustive study, but this will hopefully be the first, at least, of two, if not three, shiurim on the sugya of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, specifically, as I titled on the Maamar Kamos sheet, Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach, V'yichus on the Mitzvot Yisrael, because we're going to see they sound like they're the same as our parallel mitzvot of those seven, but there are going to be distinctions which we'll speak about. The first story that is worthwhile to hear, especially if we're from the north and we're not from the Bible Belt, but I remember Rabbi Fran once saying on a tape that he got a phone call from some community in the south asking if he'd be kind enough to be willing to be the posek for Noachide society. So he was flattered that a bunch of goyim asked him to be their posek. But just start with the question. If we assume that Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach were given to B'nei Noach, then how could it be that Kayin in last week's parsha was punished for killing Hevel? If you assume that Ritzicha, which is one of the Zayin, is because it was given to Noach, then how in the world could Kayin be held accountable in... We can't be ma'anesh if we're not maz here. So the answer is that the word Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach is really a misnomer. It is not correct. It's actually Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Adam HaRishon. But the reason why we don't call it Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Adam HaRishon is because only six of them were given to Adam HaRishon and the seventh was given to Noach because Avram and Hachai was also for Adam to eat. Meat was also for Adam to eat in the first place. So Mele, he could not have received the Isser of Avram and Hachai. Zevon Achai was given to Noach only after there was a heter, Achilas Basar, and therefore the seventh, that being Zevon Achai, was given to Noach, but the first six were given to Adam HaRishon. That's the normal Mahalach. There is a Zohar that I think I saw in Magalas Hayam. The Zohar writes that all Taryag Mitzvos were actually taught to Adam HaRishon, but the way the Lashon of the Zohar was that because it's Sar HaMabel, they were all forgotten, and given to Noach anew. So it comes out that our Mesorah of, not in terms of the Chiv of our Taryag, is from Har Sinai, but at least these seven, again, Adam Rishon got a Taryag, all of them were forgotten because it's Sarah Mabel. After the Mabel, Noach received anew just seven out of the Taryag. That's the Zohar's Mahalach, and according to which we can understand why they would be called Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Now, what I always tell my students, those of you who you probably know what the Zayin Mitzvot are, but there's a very easy way just to remember them, a mnemonic. It's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the Gimel, Yoharek, Val, Yavar. Aleph is Eivim and Achai, Beis is Birchas Hashem, which is cursing Hashem, Gimel is Gezel, Dalet is Dinim, which is a mitzvah saseh, whereas the others are all mitzvahs lo saseh. And then we have the Gimel, Yoharek, Val, Yavar of Ritzicha and Ritzicha, Avodah Zarah, and Gilei Arayos. Let's look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number one. By me formatting it the way I did, it takes all the amelus out of learning this Gemara, because it's just very easy to see. Menani Mili, where do we know that there's Zayin Mitzvot B'nei Noach? Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Akra, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam, Lemar Mikal, Eitz Hagan, Achol Tochel. Zok the Gemara number one. Vayitzav Elu Hadinim. As the Pasuk says, V'chein Omer, Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzaveh Ezbon of Avram Avinu was praised that he is Mitzaveh his children, and somehow the Gemara assumes that that should be referring to Din. What's the correlation between Avram Avinu teaching his children to be Bali Midos and to go in the Derech Hashem and the fact that there have to be Dinim? That's something that we have to think about. Number two, Hashem, the second word of that Pasuk, Zubirchas Hashem, okay. Fine. Number three, Elo. Well, at this point, I'll say Elokim. Zuavod Ezar v'chein Omer Halo Yelacha, Lo Yelacha Elohim Achirim. Number four, Al HaAdam, Zushvich Ezdamim, like the pasuk says, Shafeich Dam HaAdam VaAdam Damo Yishafeich. Lemor, again, going for another stretch, Zugili Arayis, like the pasuk says. A pasuk having to do with a situation of Gilei Arayos, and the word lamor is used. Again, this seems a little bit of a stretch. The next one is very clear. Mikol Eitz Hagan, meaning Adam HaRishon Kri Mikol Eitz Hagan, Velo Gezel. And achalta chav lo evrim min hachai. Now the question that we have to, that begs itself when you see this drasha is, what in the world are we doing here? Learning, playing every single word, just playing a word game, and trying to correlate one of the zaymuses b'nei noach that we're familiar with one word in this pasuk that ostensibly doesn't have so much to do with the actual lavin. The answer is, if you look at the pasuk in Bereishis in Perek Aleph, not the pasuk that the Gemara was darshaning, but an earlier pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Adam HaRishon. Source number 2, Vayom Elokim. Hinei nasati lechem. This is the first communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to humanity. Hinei nasati lechem is called Esev Zorei Zera, and you could eat. Lechem ye la'achla. You could go ahead and eat from the fruits, eat from the plants. If you turn to Perek Beis, we have a, I don't know if it's a second communication to Adam Rishon, or it's just a representing of that same communication, that same first communication. Look at this pasuk. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam le'mor, mikol eitz hagan achol tochel. Wait a second. Didn't you just tell me that in the first parak? What in the world is this second pasuk doing? The answer is absolutely nothing. Therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin understands that this pasuk is in its entirety is miyuter. Every last word here is miyuter. And that's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin made a drasha from each one of these words, because every single one of them was miyuter. That's as far as how we have this very difficult drasha in Sanhedrin. The answer is because the entire pasuk is a yiter. But when we finish the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we come out with only Zion mitzvahs. If you look at a Gemara in Chulin, a very, very mystical, in a sense, Gemara in Chulin, Shloshim mitzvos shekiblu aleim b'nei noach, without going into what the Gemara, how the Gemara learns it out, that it brings a funny pasuk, and says Rashi, what are the 30 mitzvos that b'nei noach accepted upon themselves? Zokt Rashi, lo nisparshu. There's no shas, there's nowhere in shas that indicates what these 30 mitzvos, meaning what the 7 that we have, plus there are 23 more, and we don't know what these are. So the Ramam Ipano, in his Sefer Asam Ma'amoros, Taka enumerates what 30 mitzvos there are that apply to Bnei Noach. But what he does is he takes the 7 mitzvos and uses them as avos, and under each one of the Zion mitzvos Bnei Noach, he says there are subcategories. I'll share with you just a handful. We're not going to go through 30. Under Avodah Zarah, which is one of the Zion mitzvos Bnei Noach, he says we have 8 or 9 subcategories of all the averus that have to do with kishuf. Ov, yidoni, mavir, b'no, b'ito, ba'esh, kosem, ma'onin, mechashev, chover, chover, ov, yidoni. You have all those are subsumed under Avodah Zarah. Now, how does he know that all these inyani of kishuf, by the way, halacha l'maisa, when we had the shul's children's Simchas Beis HaShoeva, thank you, Mr. Davies. When we had the Simchas Beis HaShoeva for children on the Motzei, the first days of Sukkot, in Pastor and most many shuls like having magicians. So I told the people involved that are in charge of arranging it that if they wouldn't mind, I'd be very appreciative if they bedavka don't hire a magician. Why? Not because Reuben Noach, but because there is a machlokas. How to define what we call magic nowadays is not kishuf, it's achizas yadayim, it's optical illusion. And Shitas HaRambam, right, you mentioned, Shitas HaRambam is that achizas yadayim, optical illusion, is subsumed under the iser of mechashev. And we don't pass like the Rambam, we're Ashkenazim, right? That's what you think. But the Pesachei Tshuva in the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for that Rambam. And therefore, not that I would have a problem watching a magician, not that I have a problem with my children would watch a magician, but for a shul to sponsor a magician, that I just felt when there are, it's a Shitas HaRambam that it could be an Issa D'oraisa, and the Pesachei Tshuva assumes that it is problematic. I felt it shouldn't be the place of a shul to go ahead and actively sponsor such a thing. So they found a wonderful balloon man to entertain the children. My kids enjoyed the balloons, and we did not have, and we made the magician disappear. Thank you, Dr. Schwab. Yes. So, how do we know that all these subcategories, Ma'onin, Mechashev, are all going to be considered usher to Goyim as well? It's not just Avodah Zarah in itself, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually points out on Nvav Amud Beis, a pasuk in Chumash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, I don't want you to be involved in these kind of activities and this black magic and this kishuf and this nichush, what does the Torah say? Don't get involved in these things. Ki biglal kol hatoivos Hashem elokecha morishos sami panecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know why I don't want you to get involved with these occult activities? Because that's the reason why I threw them out of Eretz Yisrael and why I destroyed them. Says the Gemara, how could Hashem punish them, throw them out of their land, if it's mutter for them to do? Obviously, the Gemara says, it's also for them to do these things. And that's why Hashem had the right. Lo anash elam kein his here. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to throw them out, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does want them to avoid doing these maisim. So that's, even though it's not included in the regular seven, but the Gemara, at least according to one Shita, does say that these additional eight or nine categories will be usher. And that's part of how the Ramam Ippano gets to his 30. Another one or two that I just want to mention, which is fascinating, on the Isser of Gilui Arayos, which is one of the seven, the Ramam Ippano says, you know what other, again, he has to get to 30 because the Gemara Chulin said that there are 30 mitzvahs b'nei noach. The Ramam Ippano says that there's Pru, and number two, Urevu. Two mitzvahs on a ben noach, Pru, Urevu, which I assume is how we assume, if when you learn the sugya of Pru, Urevu in general, there's always the understanding that Sheves is, even if mitzvah, if Goyim nowadays might not have what we usually assume, the mitzvah of Pru, Urevu, they are still obligated in Sheves, which is just inhabiting the world, even if it's not the formal mitzvah of Pru, Urevu, the way you didn't have it nowadays. But I assume our version of Sheves is derived from the way the Ramam Ippano understands that Pru and Urevu. Could anybody help me? What's the difference between Pru and Urevu? What? They're what? Different species? But if we're talking to people, that doesn't work.
So you want to say Urevu means, which means Lasheva Yitzara, because you have to do to bring, but Urevu means even though you've accomplished already the mitzvah of one or two, so Urevu like could mean...
So Pru is a basis and Urevu is more than that.
Many.
It could be.
Many.
I hear that. I don't know, it doesn't sound so gishma.
But they, you know, they also, the Sheva Yitzara is only the Rabbanim.
Right, so we assume. Right,
we assume the Sheva is only the Rabbanim. Right.
Yes, yes. Any other ideas what Pru and Urevu could be? Two different things? I don't have a good... Right, it's a pasuk in Nach. Right, it's a pasuk in Nach. But it's based, it sounds like, you know, once you know this Ramam Ippano, that he counts it as one of 30, it sounds like it's going to at least be based on it. Okay, if you have a good... What?
The appointment
with two children, where does that come from? That's for Yidden, the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. What's it from? I don't think the Mishnah doesn't cite a source, if I remember correctly. It could be, but that's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. Here the Ramam Ippano is counting as two separate things. That's my question. Why would the Ramam Ippano, sorry, I wasn't clear. In his count to get to 30, he counts number 12 as Pru and number 13 as Revu. So my question is, how could he be counting them as two separate, disparate mitzvahs? I always thought as Pru Revu as being one thing. So
if a woman were to become pregnant, but ultimately not give birth to a live child, would that be satisfying
in Peru? Certainly in halacha for Jews, that would not satisfy the kiyum of Peru.
Of Revu.
No, but it says...
You're saying it's like a pre-Betan.
Yeah, no, but it says the question they ask you, not whether you did Peru, or Asakta during your Peru.
Right.
Which means if you're just intending, or you're trying to be Osei, because people that don't have children or whatever...
Right, if a person has a fertility problem, they can't be held accountable.
Right. But yet, let's go back to the original question then. In general, how do we learn? Well, you need two words.
So if it's not referring to humanity, like he mentioned, it could be talking about different minim and numbers.
But one simple shot, what do you mean, two words? When Nakash Baruch Hu gave the bracha approval, was given the Zivoy, what do you mean, two words? Now, according to what we're saying, what is it, you approve or whatever? I don't
know. Okay.
Just to have one kid.
Okay, could be. So I'll go to one more thing. Within the, again, the general category of Gilui Arayos, besides Pru, as well as Revu, the Ramam Ippano also points out, which is Halacha L'maisa, also a very important halacha. I had it as a shayla a few weeks ago. I actually got a call from him right after Maariv. The same fellow asked me this shayla. Sirus. that which is asr de'oraisa, for a nachri, to neuter, to castrate an animal, is halacha lemaisa, because this fellow called me a little while ago, he called me a few weeks ago, he bought a rabbit, and he wanted to have it taken care of. So there we paskin that it's lifnei iver. For me to give it to a non-Jewish veterinarian, since the veterinarian is non-Jew, even if it's a non-Jewish veterinarian, he's obligated to not be misarius either, to not neuter animals either. And for me to give it to him, I'm violating lifnei iver. Where do we know that lifnei iver applies to goyim? What? Eivim Menachai. Exactly. That's the Gemara's classical example of Eivim Yayin to a Nazir and Eivim Menachai to a Goy. So you see clearly from the Gemara that lifnei iver does apply to goyim. So the answer when a person has an animal and wants it neutered is to buy a pre-neutered animal.
Somebody told me to give it to a guy to give it to a guy.
That's a good question. I think the Chasam Sofer was dealt with that, and I don't think it's so simple, because when I ask a guy to give it to a guy, he's being my shliach. It's as though I'm doing the same thing. When I'm doing it, yeah, the Chasam Sofer deals with that question. I think it's not ideal. That's better than nothing, but it's not.
Ain't shliach with varadera.
If the shliach is for a guy.
Right, shliach for a guy.
Yes. Yes, but I don't remember if it's the Chasam Sofer or the No de Yehuda. One of the Achronim say, or the Chazanish, that when you are setting the whole thing up to happen, you're like arranging that in all. It's more than just shliachus. You're like arranging the whole thing for you, to help you, setting it up, making it happen. It's higher, it's more than shlichus. And even though shlichus is a guy is not bar shlichus, when you're making the whole thing happen to help yourself out, there we might attribute it back to you. Okay. Another fascinating nekuda from the Rama Mipano is that as a subcategory of one of the mitzvahs of Birkas Hashem, not to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom, listen to this, that the guy has to have Kavod HaTorah. A chiyuv, one of the 30 mitzvos, as the Rama Mipano counts, a guy has to have korav haTorah, kavod haTorah, and secondly, la'asok b'Torah shenitna lahem. They obviously, we know the Gemara says that even a guy who's osik b'Torah is like a kohen hanichnas lefnei lefnim, and he's kadosh. It's wonderful for a guy will get his schar for learning Torah. Obviously, the mitzvos that apply to him, but that I always thought that's a maila. If he wants to, he could elevate himself by learning Torah. But here it sounds like a chiyuv, that at least those mitzvahs that apply to him, he has to learn. So these are all interesting subcategories to get to the 30, that source number, oh, I didn't number it, 3.5 of the Shloshim. Excellent question. In terms of belief in Hashem, we're going to get to that. That's going to be... we're going to get to belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to get to the Rav Moshe Feinstein. We're going to talk about in source number 6. We'll talk about that point. The Meshech Chachma adds that even though we counted 7 mitzvos, and maybe we expanded it to 30, which, again, we didn't go through all of the details, but what about the following? Not lying. And I'll bring you an example. Where do we find that somebody was... presumably had a din of a ben Noach and was expected to keep their word? Well, says the Meshech Chachma, Yaakov was mashbia Esav, swear to me that you will let me have the Bechora. Vayishov alo. So what's binding Esav, if not for the fact that, what's binding Esav to do anything? Similarly, Paro and Yosef. What? And what does swearing do? What binds him to the swear? You're saying just the self-image or...
Yeah, you have to make you swore.
I hear what you're saying. That's fine. The Meshech Chachma suggests something different. The Meshech Chachma suggests that anything that's sichli is dick, even if it's not one of the Zion mitzvahs, will still be obligatory upon a guy. And therefore, shvuas sheker, to keep one's word, even though we don't necessarily have a source... but since it's just sichliistic that a person should do that, it's a mitzvah sichlis, that would be binding on a guy, even though it's not in the count as we counted thus far. Okay. That's just in terms of how we get the different numbers. Now we could get a little bit into a little bit more some of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Now, I found a great way to remember where the sugya of mitzvahs b'nei Noach are. It's in Sanhedrin, that you have to remember, but around Daf Nun Ches. Noach, Nun Ches. It's Nun Vav Tenin Tes. That's just the way that I always remember, so you never lose the place. So the Gemara and Daf Nun Ches, and Daf Nun Tes as well, sets down a Yisod. The Yisod is source number 4. We'll just look at the underlined line. Leka midim de Yisrael shari ulanachri asim. The Gemara assumes that there can't be anything that will be mutter for Yisrael and asr for a guy, meaning, look at Rashi in the italics underneath source number 4. Shek sheyatzu michlal b'nei Noach, when we became at Har Sinai, all of the Jews were elevated and became Jews, and we were elevated from the status, the lowly status of only being b'nei Noach. What happened when that happened to us? Says Rashi, sheyatzu michlal b'nei Noach, when we became elevated and raised up from that previous status of being b'nei Noach that we'd been until Matan Torah, lehis kadish yatzu. It can't be that we became elevated at Har Sinai to what? To go down a level? To get more kulas? To be more lenient? Chas v'shalom. And therefore it must be, the Gemara assumes, sounds like it's a svara. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a svara. That there cannot be, just can't be anything that's going to be mutter for a goy to do, that's going to be mutter for a Yisrael to do, but also for a goy. We have to be more... Yeah, we're going to get to murder probably next week. Maybe at the end of today, but probably next week. I want to try a fabulous shaila that the Menuchas Chinuch raises. A summa, a blind person, is patur min hamitzvos. Okay, so a summa doesn't have to bench. Asuma doesn't, let's say, according to the Madoma, that Asuma doesn't, is part of an amitzvah. He doesn't have to bench, he doesn't have to lay tefillin, he doesn't have to learn Torah, he doesn't have to shake lulav and esrog, he doesn't have to eat in a sukkah. But is he allowed, I'm not talking about goyim now, I'm talking about a Jew who's blind, is he allowed to violate los sases? Is he allowed to eat treif? Is he allowed to be mechallel Shabbos? Okay, so that's a machlokas. The Menuchas Chinuch brings a machlokas. The Menuchas Chinuch says that cites the Nodebi, the Pima Gadim says like Tata Schwab, that a guy, a Summa, of course, has to keep Los Asays, but the Nodebi Yehuda says otherwise. The Nodebi Yehuda holds that if a Summa is Potem in HaMitzvahs, he's blind, he, Mavish, does not have to keep any mitzvahs at all, according to the Mandam that Summa is Potem in HaMitzvahs. We might pass when that Summa is Chayv HaMitzvahs, but according to the Mandam Amar, that a Summa is Potem in HaMitzvahs, the Nodeb Yehuda holds he's Potter in Gansen. He could be Mechal Shabbos, he could be Ochel Nevelos and Trefos, and certainly he doesn't have to fulfill the mitzvahs, I say, of Talis and Lulav and Sukkah and Matzah. Now, what? Lichat Chila, he could go drive his... He shouldn't drive, he's blind, it's dangerous. But he could, yeah. Yes, he could do whatever he wants.
He could eat
chametz on Pesach, according to this opinion. I don't know if we pass like this opinion, but according to this opinion that a blind person is not obligated to mitzvahs, he could mamash eat chametz on Pesach. Says the Menuchas Chinuch, how far does it go? Could he steal? Could he kill? Could he do a Gili Arayas? Could he do Birchas Hashem? Is he going to be bound? We're saying that he doesn't have to do any of the mitzvahs, certainly not mitzvahs asay. Even this is low, says the Nodeb Yehuda, that says he's not bound by. But is there a bottom line of saying that he does have to keep? Does he have to be at least a guy? Or is a Jew, a blind Jew, according to the opinion that a blind person is not chayv mitzvahs, is he even less than a guy and doesn't even have to keep the Zion mitzvahs? So the Menuchas Chinuch says, even if we say he's part of all the mitzvahs, and he could eat chametz on Pesach and drive on Shabbos, mikol makom, osan mitzvahs, shebnei noach musharim aleihem, those mitzvahs that a guy is obligated to keep, clearly, this Jew, who's, even though he's blind, of course, certainly would have to keep. Chas v'shalom to assume he would be gara, he would be less in his obligation than a ben Noach. And he says the same reasoning that we just saw in Rashi. Nihid alon is kadish b'Har Sinai. Leave it for the fact that at Har Sinai, because he was blind, he didn't get the additional mitzvahs. But he certainly shouldn't have lost his whatever mitzvahs he had as a ben Noach, even if he didn't get this extra kedusha of the mitzvahs of Yisrael, the additional 606, but those base seven he still should have had.
But
had
he been there, he would have been healed.
That's a good point. Had he been there, he would have been healed. I want to. What's that? Fabulous. Okay, we're going to talk about Shiurim, not this week, next week, but we're going to talk about that, actually. What I'd like to go, through together, I found a beautiful, beautiful Igros Moshe that was pointed out to me today, and he deals with a few questions that will relate to what we just mentioned in terms of the Ramah Mipano, and I think Mr. Becker's point, what about believing in Hashem? Is that, that's not one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So we assume that they don't have to believe in Hashem at all. So Ramosha deals with your question. And in this tshuva, he actually deals with a very current issue in terms of prayer in the public school classroom. Is it a problem of, or if you have a Jewish kids in a public school, are they allowed to be involved in the prayer, even if there's a set text that the public school provides? Let's go through this tshuva together, because I think it's I cut and pasted parts of it, so the geshmaka parts. So let's lead it together. On the bottom of the Mar Mekomos, sheet number 6. Hinei, this is Igros Moshe, Arachayim Chelek Pei, Simen Chafei. L'inyan ben Noach, imechuyev betfila. That's the question. Is a goy obligated to daven? Pashut she'enu mechuyev. It's obvious, says Rav Moshe, that a goy does not have to daven. After all, it's not one of the seven mitzvos B'nai Noach that are cited in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daphne and Vav. Okay, so it's not an obligation for a goy to daven. Bottom line, well, inyanim yeshlo mitzvah kishemis palal Hashem yisparach. He doesn't have to. But if he does he get brownie points? That's something that hopefully we'll talk about maybe in 2 weeks. Does a goy in general get brownie points? Does a goy have a chelek in olam haba? If he does the mitzvahs, does he have to believe the mitzvahs? Does he have to do the mitzvahs in a certain way? That's not for now. Says Rav Moshe on the top of the next page. Nira. Sheyesh lo k'mefurash b'krab Yeshaya. It's a pasuk that every last one of us is familiar with that indicates that goyim do have a concept and even a mitzvah of davening. Ki beis beis tefila yikare l'chol ha'amim. Right? What's the point of there being a beis tefila? Perish Rashi Sham. Not just for Yisrael. The beis hamikdash l'asid lava is not just going to be a place for Yisrael to daven, but it's going to be a place for goyim to daven. What do you mean? I thought goyim don't have a mechiv to daven. It must be, you're right, they don't have a chiv to daven, but if they daven, it's obviously a good thing. She'av sheptur mitzvila, mikomachim kishem ispalu, nashem yisbach, osin mitzvah. It is a mitzvah if they do it. Otherwise, what's the maila of having a base tefillah yikari l'chol ha'amim if there's no mitzvah and it's meaningless when they do it? Therefore, Ramosha concludes that it will be a mitzvah if he does it. But it's not obligatory. Now, let's go to the point that Mr. Becker raised. The next big paragraph. Kishemis palel, if he davens, rak kishyesh lo tzorech, kon shiyesh lo chole, o she'en lo parnasa, hu kichiyuv mamish. There is a possibility that a guy could have a mitzvah to daven, a chiyuv to daven. How is that? If there's a desperate need that he's encountering. He has a chole in his family, or he has problems with parnasa, then suggests to Moshe Feinstein, a guy would have a chiyuv to daven, even though it's not one of the Zion mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So where does it come from? V'lo kosher mimashalo hichshiv zeh l'mitzvah miyuchedes. And it's not problematic in that which is not included as an independent mitzvah, the chiyuv B'nai Noach, and one of the seven that we've been discussing. Mishum, as Mr. Becker pointed out, d'zehu ikur he'emuna b'Hashem yisparach. The fundamental belief in Hashem is that what? Right after the underlined lines, Shirak hu hanosim parnasa v'haruf echolim. The recognition, the perspective that it is only Hashem who could provide parnasa. It is only Hashem who could heal sick. And if he doesn't turn to Hashem, that means he is what? Ukesheinu boteach al Hashem yisparach ve'enu mispalel elav. If he doesn't turn to Hashem and rely on Hashem and ask of Hashem, hareyu ke'enu ma'amin bo. He's not going to be believing in Hashem. Well, if you don't believe that it comes from Hashem, then where in the world does it come from? Umam in bidvar macherim. First word on the next line. Ah, but where does it say that a guy has to believe in Hashem? Like Mr. Becker asked. Maybe he doesn't have to believe in Hashem at all. Ve'amuna ba'Hashem yisparach, afshalahuz kazeh b'minyan ha-zayin mitzvos, even though it's not one of the counted as one of the zayin, v'aday hu mechuyiv l'hamin. Clearly he must be ma'amin. And in the parentheses, I put in the parentheses. He didn't have a parentheses. Because the Rambam writes at the end of the Lachos Bnei Noach that a person who is Mekayim, the Zion Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, because he realizes that they are from Hashem, gets rewarded in Olam Haba. So you see that in order for him to, for a guy to receive his reward for Olam, for Zion Mitzvah, it's only on predicated in the, within a context of him realizing that they're from Hashem. So that Emun and Hashem is the foundation of all of the Zion Mitzvahs. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says three fabulous points. A, goyim don't have a mitzvah to daven. B, if they daven, they do get a mitzvah. C, if they're in trouble, they do have a chiyuv to daven. Now, let's finish with the point of the separation of church and state issue, because it's the same tshuva. Uvidvar hatfila haketzara. So in the three dots that I made, those little dots, I cut out a piece where Rav Moshe says that if there's a prayer that was written by bishops, written by Christian clergy, then even if it's not intended to be, even if it's written with the intention for being, you know, universal, if it was written by Christian clergy, you can't say it. Dot, dot, dot. And now he says, regarding the tefillah haketzara, she'omrim hayiladim bebatei sefer shal medina, the tefillah that the Department of Education composed to be recited in public school, kanira, seemingly shebekavana lo hizkiru remez me emunasam. They purposely omitted any reference to Christianity. Because they purposely wanted it to be a universal language to include the Jews and whatever other religions might be in the public schools. And therefore, he writes beautifully, as he always does about America, the government, they're not looking for religious coercion in this country. After the parentheses, the government established this sort of set text that won't have any problem to be specific to any religion, and therefore there's no Isser, and there's no Maris Ayin, and there's nothing wrong with a kid in public school, a Jewish kid in public school, reciting the text that the Department of Education suggested to say as a prayer as part of the public school schedule. Fascinating tshuva, fascinating kula, and I found it very fascinating. I wanted to share it. Let's finish off with one last point. One last point. We mentioned before in source number four. I read one line, but I skipped the rest. So if we look back at source number four, we see where the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tesam and Aleph was telling us that there can't be anything, it can't be easier to be a guy. There can't be anything that's usher for a guy, but mutter for us. Asks the Gemara, really? After the underlying lines. V'lo! Hare yifas tar! Yifas tar, you have a woman who's an eishes ish mamish. She's a married woman. And yet we know that a Jew who's in a situation of war is allowed to take her. And yet a guy, if a guy would spend the night with this Yifas Tar, he'd be put to death because of Gilui Arayos. So how could that be? So the Gemara gives its answer. The next question that the Gemara asks in the third line of source number four. Haripachos Mishav Epruta. How could we say that Yisrael is more strict after all? Goyim have a leniency. I'm sorry, Goyim have a strictness that they are chayav misa, actually, even if they steal pachos mishava pruta. And for us, we only have an obligation to not steal. We'll talk about the fine points in a second. And we only have a mitzvah to return stolen object only if it's at least a pruta. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the reason why Jews are a little bit more lenient in terms of the pachos mishava pruta, it's only because we're b'nei mechila, we are a little more open and generous, as opposed to Goyim. I just want to finish the shiur today with a chakira. This is the chakira of the Machane Ephraim, a very famous Machane Ephraim. Hilchas Gezeila Simon Aleph, who asks the following question. When we have a requirement for a Shavah Pruta, we have it in how many different halachas? Where do we have a halacha of a Shavah Pruta? We said here that Gezel, Kedushin, where else do we have a Chiyav of Shavah Pruta? Something must be at least a Pruta. I don't want to say that because Chalipin does work less than Shavah Pruta. Hashavas Aveda, is that true? I don't remember. That's kefi. Yeah, that's relative. That's not objective. Based and only has to adjudicate on a case that's a Shavah Pruta. What other halachas do we have of a Shavah Pruta? Okay, there are probably a number of others. So the Machne Ephraim has the Falei Chakiram. Is it that all these halachas have a certain shiur, like all the shiurim that exist? The shiur is a Shavah Pruta. That's the critical threshold that is sufficient to be Mekadosh a woman. That's the critical threshold to Mechayiv a Beis Din to Dan on the case. That's the critical threshold to be Mechayiv in the Chiyuv of Veheshev HaGzela SheGaza. Or, asks the Machane Ephraim, something that will be much more Geshmak. Less than a Pruta is not defined as money. It's not Kesef. But Mele, whether you need Kesef, Kesef only is once you have a Pruta. So a male, Kiddusha needs Kesef? Okay, so once you have a Pruta, then you can start talking about Kiddusha Kesef. Based and only will dot a case. No, that's by Chalipin. Only can you Chalipin. Correct, it does not apply to Kesef. Kesef can't, the whole point is Chalipin does work less than a Shavah Pruta. That's what the Gemara says. Kesef always needs a Shavah Pruta. Chalipin does work less than a Shavah Pruta, and that's what the Gemara says, that since it will be embarrassing in Gnailula to take something so little, she refuses to be mekadesh herself for a chalip in all circumstances.
But kesef wouldn't be considered
kesef. Kesef, the reason why you need a shavah pruta, according to this tzad, is not because you need a pruta, it's because you need kesef. And kesef is defined in its minimal amount as a pruta, less than that is just not kesef. That's more geshmak. You know why it's more geshmak to say this second side of the coin? No pun intended. Because then you could say there's one rule called defined as money. And wherever there's a requirement of having money, you're going to have this shir of a pruta, as opposed to saying that Hilchas Kiddushin has a shir of a kesef, and it's a shir in Hilchas Gzela that it has to be a pruta. I'm sorry, Kiddushin has a shir of a pruta, and Kiddushin has a shir of a pruta, and Gzela has a shir of a pruta, and this mitzvah has a shir of a pruta. It's much easier to say, instead of, it just happens to be a whole bunch of mitzvahs have a shir, they all happen to be the same shir. It sounds easier on my mind to just say, no, all these mitzvahs have to, all these halachas have to do with kesef. And the definition of kesef is just money. So if that's going to be the case, we're going to come with somebody, we're going to finish with this right now. It's going to be a little bit tricky. According to what we just said, why do you not have to return something that's less than a pruta?
It's not, because it's
not a kesef. But that's not what this Gemara just said. Right? Like Barry just pointed out, the Gemara said the reason why you don't have to return kesef is because it's not a shav, because we're generous, we're mocha. According to the whole lambda, what you're just saying from the Machane of Ephraim, it's not kesef. So that's just something to think about. Thank you very much for coming. Be'ezus Hashem, next week we will continue. We'll talk about Ritzicha, we'll talk about Arayos, and most fascinatingly, we'll talk about Dinim in terms of what's the siachsus between Dine Yisrael and Dine Akum.
Educated, everything.